Go to Jeremiah chapter 18 with me. I picked this message because it's Graduate Sunday, and I thought it'd be a great message to look at, to encourage our young graduates, to allow the Lord to mold them into what He would have them to be. You know, God uses many images to describe His relationship to His people. He speaks of the shepherd and the sheep. We're the sheep, He's the shepherd. The husband-wife relationship as the bride of Christ, Christ being the heavenly bridegroom, the Father and His children. All that teaches a lot of things about the Lord, about our relationship to Him. Here's another one in Jeremiah, that God is the potter and we are the clay. Jesus didn't just save us just so we can go to heaven. There's other things involved here. He wants us to be actively involved in the kingdom work here on earth. And He's given us His power to get the job done. We can't do it on our own. But He will empower us. He will mold us into the kind of vessel that He wants us to be, that He can use. So let's look at this, Jeremiah chapter 18, and look at the first six verses with me. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then a word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And by way of application, not only to the house of Israel, but to us today. To the Lord's church and to each individual believer, we are clay in the potter's hands. Now look at chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Later on he says, thus saith the Lord to Jeremiah, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. Drop down to verse 10 and 11. After Jeremiah gives this message to the people from God, he's told, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. They shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. I want you to see the striking picture we have in chapter 18, and then a striking contrast in chapter 19. First, you've got a lump of clay. Now, that would represent our young people. They are clay in the potter's hands, and he wants to fashion them into the kind of vessel that he wants them to be, that he might use them to his honor and glory. Later on, chapter 19, he calls the elders to come and shows what can happen in older age when some become hardened in their life against God and against God's will, how that can be broken. Just as Israel was broken, your life can be broken. Your home can be broken. Your health can be broken if you do not allow God to mold you into the vessel He wants you to be. See, sometimes we get stubborn. We want to go our own way. We want to do what we want to do instead of listening to God's directions for us. So you've got two vessels here. One is marred, the clay, but it's still soft and can be reshaped and remolded. The other is broken. It is a hardened vessel that is broken. Now, you might be able to glue it back together. If it's big pieces, you might be able to glue it and maybe even use it to some extent, but it's never going to be what the potter meant for it to be. You may have a broken life. You wonder, can God use me? God can put you back together. God can use you to some extent, but not to the extent he wanted to. If you would allow him to mold you in your youth and follow him your entire life. So we're going to think about that this morning. If you want to take notes, first of all, let's think about the potter and his mission. And first, note the potter's intentions. He's got a singular purpose. He plans to take the clay as a vessel. Something that will reap a profit. Something that will be useful. Something that will bring honor to the potter. He wants something that will be useful. Now, is that not God's intention? God excels in taking old, worthless clay, which is what we are by nature. But he can transform that clay into a vessel of honor. That's brought out in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verses 20 and 21. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also vessels of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. Now everyone here is a vessel. God is shaping you into what he wants you to be. And if you allow God to do that, you will be a vessel of honor. What's a vessel of dishonor? That's one that resists God's will and wants to go their own way. And God cannot use them as he deems fit. See, Jesus saved the sinner. And in doing so, he begins this process of changing a vile sinner into a vessel that will bring honor to his name. In a typical church, you're going to see adults there who have a broken, scarred past. Because they went their own way. Their lives are broken, their homes are broken, their health is broken. Because they insisted in doing things their own way. Even some of these older teenagers are going down the wrong path. They're making choices, they're making decisions in times of rebellion that's going to bring sadness in days to come. They don't want to serve the Lord. They want to do their own thing. Some get into trouble and marry an unbeliever, which results usually in an unhappy home or divorce. Now others, maybe they dated an unbeliever, but realize that that's not what's best for them, and they wait and marry the person God intends for them, a fellow believer, and together they can have a Christian home. There's a difference, isn't there? Allowing God to work in your life. Think of the potter's ingredients here. The materials that he uses. He takes clay out of the ground, which is not really suitable for much, but he takes, he digs it out, he brings it into the pottery, he allows it to wither. I was watching some videos about this. I wanted to learn more about potters and how they work. One preacher said that he visited a potter, and a potter took him and showed him where he got his clay. He said it was a miry pit. He said it stunk. Because he would take things and add to that clay certain types of grass and things, and that would just kind of rot and everything. And it just was a miry pit. Does that remind you of anything? Look over at Psalm 40 and verses 1 and 2. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Isn't that a picture of the lost sinner? In a horrible pit, a stinking pit, And the Lord finds us. He draws us out, puts us on a solid rock, and begins to shape and mold us into what he wants us to be. Amen. That's where we all came from. We're all of the same clay. When God made Adam, what he took the earth and shaped a man. Just clay. And all of us have that. Drawn from the pit and used by God. That clay is finally packed away and it stands for maybe several months. Some say that the quality is improving when they do that. And the clay, though it starts off being worthless, is transformed by the potter into something that can be used. There's this process that takes time and energy on the part of the potter. And God is the potter we're talking about. We're worthless in our own. We need God to take us and make something of us that'll bring glory and honor to his name. Young people, think about that. In your youth, give yourself to the Lord early and allow him to fashion you into what he wants you to be. Think about the potter's instruments. What the potter will use in doing this. He'll take a shovel and dig the clay from the earth. You might say that picture is the Holy Spirit who comes to where we are and speaks to our hearts and convicts us of sin and draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the mallet. I didn't know this, but they would put the clay on a table and they would take a wooden mallet and beat it. The idea is that there's air bubbles there that's trapped in the clay, and if allowed to remain, they form a pocket and produce a weak spot in the vessel. So they take a wooden mallet and beat the air bubbles out of the clay. Sometimes God has to do that to us too, doesn't he? Sometimes God has to beat some things out of us. Beat the devil out of us. Put us through some hard times, some trials and tribulations, that we might become stronger as a result. So it pictures the trials of life. Then there's the potter's wheel. Have you ever seen the potter working at his wheel? I think in Silver Dollar City, they had these craftsmen, the glass blowers, and usually there's a potter's house. You can go and watch a potter make these vessels. And it's interesting to see how they do it. They got the potter's wheel. There's a lower wheel that turns, and it turns the upper wheel where they put the clay, and they begin to shape this clay into whatever he wants it to be, a bowl or a pitcher or whatever. You've seen them do that with their fingers, putting the water on it and just shaping that. It's amazing how they can do that, isn't it? But think about God, the heavenly potter who puts us on his wheel and begins to shape us. God's in control through the whole process. Bible says, Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Let God do his work. He's in constant contact shaping that clay. Folks, we don't need to fear that the Lord's just going to walk away and let that wheel spin out of control. Because we've got promises in the Bible. Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise we have. Same thing I want you to see is the potter and his ministry. You see the perception of the potter here. He's got everything under control. If there is something that mars the clay, it's not the potter's fault. Sometimes it's with the clay itself. Even with the best of care, sometimes the vessel is marred because of the clay. They have to continue to work with it until they can get it to where they want it to be. And God has to work on us the same way. Sometimes in our rebellion, sometimes in our resistance, God has to start all over again, doesn't he? Does that happen with any of you? God's had to give us several chances to allow him to work in our lives and produce what he wants us to be. By the way, don't ever be guilty of thinking that you can be one of those resisting the will of God. Bible says, matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. But his hand's always resting on the potter's will. And that potter knows instantly when a problem arises as he works with the clay. If he feels a stone or something in that, then he's got to rework it. He'll correct the problem. See, our Lord knows everything about you. Amen? He sees everything. He's constantly aware of what happens in your life. And he will take the steps necessary to correct that problem. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You cannot keep a secret from God. Not even try. Because he knows everything. He knows every thought. He knows every deed. He knows every motive. We cannot keep any of that secret from God who seeth all things. Amen. It's much better, folks, to just be responsive to the touch of God in your life. Don't resist it. Yield to the activity of God in your life. Let him control your life and correct what needs to be corrected. Secondly, notice the patience of the potter. Even when the clay is misshapen and deformed, it's still in the potter's hands. He can take that marred clay, press it back into a lump and begin again. As long as it is moldable and pliable in the potter's hands, he can't rework it. Now, after a while it gets so hard he can't do anything with it. Then he just has to get rid of it and start over with something else. The vessel is in his hands. And the process is not always pleasant. Some things God allows you to go through some hardships. God allows you to go through some difficulties. God will chasten those who rebel. But it's all for our sake. See, folks, God loves us too much to just let us go on as we are. God loves you. He's not going to let you go on in sin and disobedience. When the vessel is marred, as Ariel sang, he does not throw the clay away. He continues to work with it. He's invested too much time in salvaging the clay from the soil and preparing it for use. He can afford to be patient and keep working in the clay until it begins to resemble the image that he desires for it to have. You think about this. God paid an ultimate price for us to redeem us. He died for us. And he's not going to throw us away. Amen? He's determined to make something special out of you. And as a believer, you should never fear that God's going to throw you away. Hey, folks, what God saves, God keeps. Amen. Amen. Any Baptists here? Right. Whom God saves, God keeps. Say, does the Bible say that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at this. John 6:37. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Ever. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You don't keep yourself. We're kept by God. There are times when the clay no longer is pliable in the potter's hands. And when that happens, you just have to set it aside as a hardened vessel. That's not a picture of losing your salvation. That's a picture of being put on. I mean, you can get to the point as a child of God where all God can do with you is just put you on a shelf. Not to be used. Not because you don't have any abilities, but because you don't have any availability. You're just not available. Write this verse down, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Here's what Paul said. Paul had a concern about this. He said, I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway, put on a shelf and not used. That's happened to some of God's people. God cannot use them because they become hardened in their self-will and disobedience. Folks, listen, God knows what's best. He knows what's best for each and every one of us. Then thirdly, note the potter and his message. First of all, I would say a message here about control. The potter has absolute control over what becomes of the clay. It's in his hand. He makes of it what he desires. He's in control all the way through. Now, you might think of the different vessels a potter might make. He might just make a flower pot. I got one up here. Just a simple flower pot, but it's usable. It can be used over and over again. Sometimes he'll make a fine piece of china. Might be delicate, but it's used for special purposes. But let God decide what he wants to make of you. And whatever it is God's will, so be it. Amen? Let God decide, because he knows what is best. The Bible says in Isaiah 45:9, woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashions it to the potter, what makest thou? What are you doing? Do you ever question God? What God's trying to do in your life? The clay has no right to question the potter. The potter knows best. And God decides what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be. Your duty is to submit to him. Submit to God's will. Not only a message about control, but a message about compliance. If we want the blessings of the Lord, if we want to be a vessel of honor, we've got to let him equip us to do that. Folks, grow where you're planted. Just grow where you're planted. Don't wish you were somewhere else. Use your gifts, whatever they be, use your gifts for God's glory. I think God has gifted every child of God. There's something God has gifted you to do and to be. You should discover what that is and allow God to use you in that way. Hey, are you totally yielded to the God's will for your life? You ever find yourself fighting against God's word? You're to be like putty in the master's hands. Now in chapter 19, he tells Jeremiah to go buy a potter's earthen vessel. Buy me a vessel. So I went and bought a vessel. Actually, Betty did. She used my money. She has no money. I'm just kidding. Somebody gave me a very hard look there. So we went and bought a vessel. It's my vessel. I purchased it. I've got every right to do whatever I want to with my vessel. You have no right to this. You should not come and take away my vessel and use it for your own will. It's my vessel. Everybody understand this? Whose vessel is this? Your vessel. Okay. Want to make sure about that. Because you belong to God. You belong to God two ways. You belong to God by creation. God created you. And if you're a child of God, you belong to God by redemption. Not only did he create you, but he redeemed you. You belong to him. So you're to be a vessel in God's hands. The Bible says, Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, we are the clay, and thou art the potter. We are all the work of thy hand. Now, you may have the idea that you have the right to do whatever you want to with your life. Most people do, right? Some of you are doing things that Christians should not be doing. And when I was young, they called the kids who tried to live right, they called them the straight kids. I don't know what they call them today. They called them the straight kids. But young people, you have no business being anything but straight. What's the opposite of straight? Crooked. Don't be a crook. Amen? Don't be a crook. Go ahead and be a straight kid. Be a straight young adult. Live a life that brings glory and honor to your God. Because if you go on in crookedness, you're going to become a hardened vessel. When your life is broken, you'll want God to fix you. As a pastor, I've had people come to me and say, Brother Wes, my home's broken. My marriage is broken. My life is broken. Pastor, can you help me? Can you help me put it all back together again? We try. And God will put the broken pieces back together again if you let Him. But you'll never be what He intended you to be. Amen. Some of you young people are being kind of careless with your life. Right? This is mine. But you know what? I can be careless with it. Like some people are careless with their lives. And I can say, look at this. But what happens if I... Oh, no. Brother Cliff, look. It's broken. Brother Cliff, can you help me put it back together? God, can you do something about my broken life? Can you put it back together? My broken home? My broken health because of some bad decisions I've made? Yes? God can pick up the broken pieces. God could put them back together. But it'll never be what it should have been. Now, when you're young, before you become hard like this, you can let God mold you and shape you while you're still soft. But you get to my age, and you've gone your own way and done your own thing. You know, when I was 23 years old, Betty and I just got married. My dad died. 2 months after we got married, he died of a heart attack. I had been living for the Lord. Hadn't really been in church. And I rededicated my life to the Lord at 23. Still young enough to let God mold me. And for the last 40-something years, I'm trying to be serious here. But I've tried to let God mold my life. Young people, I don't regret that. I don't regret that I gave my life to the Lord as a young adult. And from that day on, I've tried to follow His will, His direction for my life. Many others have the same testimony. Oh, you hear testimonies. People come, they're saved out of alcoholism, out of drug use and immorality. And it's great that God saves them and can try to put together their life again. But that's not the best testimony. The best testimony is that I was saved out of a life of sin. The best testimony, I gave my life to the Lord early on. And I lived for Him my whole life. That's the best testimony. Amen. And I want you young people to think about that. Give your life to the Lord early and let Him use you. The broken vessel, his testimony is look at me and don't be like me. Right? Look at the mess I made of my life and don't be like me. It's much better for people to stand up and say, I've given my life to the Lord. I've lived for Him all my life. He has blessed me immensely, and I'm a vessel of honor unto the Lord. That's the best testimony. That's the testimony you young people need to strive for. Amen. What does the Bible say? Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Lamentations 3:27, it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You'll never regret following God's will for your life. Are you confident that God's will is being accomplished in your life? Brother Sam, you and the musicians can come now. We're going to prepare for an invitation. Folks, can you feel the hands of the heavenly potter in your life? Molding your life into what He wants you to be. Are you resisting that? You can be saved and be resisting God's will for your life. Lost friend, would you come to Jesus today, put yourself in His hands? Would you allow Him to work His will in your life to make you a vessel of honor and glory? You had that opportunity today. As we stand together, let's take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer before we sing. Lost friend, take advantage of this opportunity right now. Just pray, as the Bible says. Call upon the name of the Lord. Repenting of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Savior today. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to call upon Him and invite Him to come. And He won't come in until you invite Him.